the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Sunday, right? You go into church weekdays, right? I don't know if you're a daily communicant or not. You know, what do you see the most of? Okay, it's an older demo, maybe. What about male, female? What's the balance in your church like? There's a common belief that women are more religious than men. There's some new data out that's casting doubt on that conventional wisdom about gender and religion. And Dr. Ann Hendershot's going to be joining me in a minute. We'll talk to her about it. But I was thinking about this earlier. I said, you know, this is the way it's been for centuries, right? Is it the same? I know it's true for Christianity. I think it's the same for other religions as well. You even see it in the Gospels. At the time of the Passion, what happened? The apostles were scattered, right? Jesus has been with these guys for 3 straight years, right? Who was at the cross? You had 2 women and St. John, right? Who did he appear to first after the resurrection? It was women, right? Christ really elevated women in his day and his time. So does the Catholic Church, really, if you think about it. If you go to any regular parish, you know, go to Mass around this country, and what are you going to see in the pews? I would argue probably mostly women, most of them probably older. Even Sunday Mass can kind of be like that, not always the case. And I'm not slamming women. Men, I think I've talked about this before, we've abdicated our role as spiritual leaders. We've handed the baton to the women in our family. We really need to be male leaders. We need to stand up, but we need to let our sons and our daughters know that we have a belief in God, and we need to lead our family spiritually. And I'll tell you what, your family will transform, and your children will stay in the faith, and your children will carry on the faith. There is some evidence that this idea that, you know, the church is strictly, you know, all women, it is changing. There's a guy named Ryan Burge who has a Substack page called Graphs About Religion. And that's what it is. It's just graphs about religion, right? So he found data showing that younger women, women who are 18 to 25, they're leaving religious belief behind and they're becoming atheists. They're becoming agnostics. So they're just plain nothings. They're becoming a nun, you know, an N-O-N-E, you know, no practice at all. The number of women in the age group who have never attended a religious service has surpassed the number of men. So back in the mid-80s, about 20% said they never went. That number went down. Then it started going back up in the mid-90s to about 40%. But the number of women in that age category that say they are N-O-N-E-S's, nuns, right? It has powered past men now by 15%, and it stands at nearly half of those women. What's going on? Why are women, young women, at demo, beginning to leave the faith? I'm joined today by a very gifted sociologist. Dr. Ann Hendershot is a professor of sociology, the director of the Veritas Center at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and of course, one of our nation's leading Catholic sociologists. It's great to have her here with me today. Dr. Hendershot, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Drew. Yeah, this is kind of a big deal. I'm a little concerned about this because to me, well, to all sociologists, women were kind of the last line of defense for secularization. Right. We were the ones kind of holding the dike. And, you know, children adopt the mother's faith usually and not so much the father's. And that's been generational for centuries. And when women stop going, this shift has generational impact. So this isn't just now. This could be for a long time. And I don't want to alarm your listeners because this could also change. You know, nothing stays the same. That's the one thing we know in sociology. We're constantly changing. The culture is constantly changing. But if we lose the women, then the battle could be lost. I mean, Republicans are still attending church. So there is, you know, there's still some hope. Huh. Conservatives are still attending church. And it isn't so much, I know you said that women are becoming atheists. No, there's still some stigma behind being an atheist. So nobody wants to say they're an atheist. Most people still dislike atheists even more than members of Congress. Wow. They hate them the most. But atheists, people just don't like. But those who have no religion, they're kind of the cool people now. They're the coolest girls in school now, that 18 to 25 years old, because they don't seem to need religion. They don't think they need religion. And that happens a lot in young adulthood, and usually they come back. So it's hard to tell if they will come back. The 18 to 25 don't think they need religion, but 18 to 25 in the 80s and 90s, they weren't like this, you know, so it is kind of a concern. But the 80s and 90s, we didn't have social media. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but the idea of religion is to bind us. You know, the word religio is to tie or bind. And nothing is tying people in church these days, young people. So they're looking for religion elsewhere. And Ross Dohat, we've talked about this on your show before, his book called Bad Religion, his argument is that people aren't leaving religion. They're finding religion somewhere else. They're finding it in social media, in politics, in social groups, in teams, in CrossFit, in those kind of places. To me, young families, their Sundays are very busy. I have so many nieces and nephews with children now. They're all on travel teams. And so I don't know if you're experiencing this, but my kids never had all these travel teams. So they're all on the road on Sundays. Right. So these competing priorities and the ties that bind are in their teams. I have lots of relatives who are coaching these travel teams and coaching these teams. And family demands are, they're huge now. They're at the top. And you didn't used to have practice on Sundays and games on Sundays with kids. So young families now, they're religio, they're bound to their travel teams and their sports teams and whatever, and even those without children. Now, one thing is single women and single moms are leaving the church at the highest rate, and it isn't just young. So as marriage declines, church attendance declines. So if you're single and you're a single mom, you're not likely to go to church, which is kind of sad because that's where you could get some help, you know, yeah, but they don't. If you're a single woman without children, you're much less likely, but you're finding it elsewhere. Yeah. And that's really my point.
My guest today is Dr. Ann Hendershot. If you want to join us, feel free to. Maybe your experience is in your own family. Maybe, you know, your daughter's no longer attending church. Maybe you've seen the exodus from it. Doctor, let's pick up on that point, because I do find that interesting that boomers are less religious today than they were in their 30s. What is driving this, I guess, apathy, if you will, or this tepid desire to practice the faith?
Yeah, it is kind of a worry. I mean, I do worry about the young people, of course, and passing on the faith. But the older people, you know, people like me, I'm worried because usually that has always been the group that attends church because they see themselves, their lives, you know, are ending soon. So to me, it's a question of belief. It isn't just hectic schedules and competing priorities. It's a lack of faith, and that's even more concerning to me. A lack of emotional engagement, a lack of hope in some ways. When the baby boomer generation stopped attending church, and they were much less than the previous generations, but now they're less likely to be religious than they were in their 30s. But, you know, in their 30s, they were raising their families, and families go to church, at least they used to. So I think it's less important, perhaps. But, you know, I'm so lucky to teach at Franciscan because I don't see any of this. I have the 18 to 25-year-olds who are on fire for church and on fire for religion, on fire for God. And that's why it's just so hard for me to read this. But yeah, then I can look around, and this is what's happening, because it really is.
I want to take a few calls for you here. A number of people want to join you. Before I do, I want to share this study, because this study has always fascinated me, about the role of a father. You know, we talk about boomers being less passionate. We talk about women in their 18 to 25-year range now, you know, becoming atheists, agnostics, or even leaving the church. There was a Swiss study that was done. I forget when it was done, a while ago. And it found that the religious practice of fathers is one of the most important factors in the future faith of his children. So, gentlemen, listen up. What the survey found was that in families where both parents regularly went to church, both mother and father went, so we did as kids, my wife and I went, we took our kids, 33% of the children became regular churchgoers for life, 41% would attend irregularly, and 25% will stop. Which is not very impressive, given the results, you know, given the faithfulness of the parents. That always surprised me. But worse is when the father never attended church, right? If the father didn't go, in that scenario, only 2% of the children became regular attendees. 37 attended irregularly, and over 60% stopped practicing their faith altogether. So take a look at your own family. What's your father doing? Final little thought here. It says, Much more hopeful is the finding that 44% of children in the study continued practicing their religion when the dad was the one who took the lead. 11% higher than the families in which both parents went on Sunday. The study's a little counterintuitive, Doctor, but it really does show you how critical and how important the father's faith is. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I always say that women are the ones that pass on the faith, but fathers have a huge influence on their children. And we're seeing today the fruits of not having fathers in families, you know, the violence and the dropout rates. And there's so many social dysfunctions when there's not a father involved. So I think we need to give fathers a whole lot more credit, you know, for everything, for the influence they have on their children. Males are much more likely to be atheists than females. I mean, overwhelming, it's almost like 80% versus 20%. It's tough for men to go to church, I think, right now.
We'll go to Xavier, who's listening to us in Detroit, Michigan.
Just been listening to you guys say between the 18 and 25 year age gap about kind of the decline in the faith. I attend a Latin Mass parish, and there seems no shortage of young people, young families growing and leading, and no absence of fatherhood or motherhood. And I go to St. Joseph's Shrine in Detroit and St. Joseph's up in Armada, and haven't really seen that. What are you guys' thoughts on the Latin Mass?
You're absolutely right. You are right. I attend a Latin Mass in Bridgeport, Connecticut, a Christ the King Sovereign Priest. And it's all young families and all fathers and mothers and children. And it's packed every week.
Paul's in Joliet, Illinois. Paul, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Hendershot.
Yes. I just want to follow up with what Xavier just said. He kind of spoke what I had to say. When I came back into my faith about 6 years ago, I was became a daily communicant in the morning. And I noticed a lot of elderly and mostly female. And then when I eventually joined the Latin Mass community, like Xavier said, complete opposite. I was blown away. So when I see these statistics, I want to go, well, wait, there are people out there who do attend and who are young and female. So it's great to see. And I hope that all parishes can become that.
All right. Hey, Paul, thank you.
Yeah, it's harder to do that now. But you're right. The Latin Mass community is a tight community, religio, to tie or bind. And they are bound in that community. Some people think too much, and that's Pope Francis' worry that we insulate ourselves if you're in that community.
Paul, thanks. Alan is in Orlando, Florida, and is a convert. Alan, good afternoon. Thanks for calling in.
I'm a convert of 40 years. When I got married, my wife was Catholic. I was not. She was very instrumental in my being converted. About since COVID or thereabouts, she stopped going to Mass. So we're in our 60s, so I'd say we classify as boomers, and I'm very, very concerned, and it's very hurtful to have to go to Mass by myself. We have four children. None of the four children practice their faith, so it's a heavy heart. I even mentioned one week about maybe going, and she very quickly told me that she did not want me to even ask her or, you know, have any kind of prodding as far as her going. I'm just praying for her now. That's all I know that I can do.
Alan, here's my advice for you. I mean, all you can do is pray for what you're doing. Offer sacrifices, too. Try fasting for her, right? And then just be that witness. I guarantee you, your prayers, your example, and your invitation to her. Ask her every once in a while. Keep that invitation open. I've heard so often from other listeners who've been down the same path, whose spouse was obstinate. They're not going. God works in mysterious ways. This is a cross for you in your relationship, but I know he's going to hear this prayer conversion. I have no doubt in my mind because there's good that's going to come from it. But Anne, I'll let you give Alan some of your thoughts.
I would imagine her faith is still there because it was so strong in inviting you to be part of the faith, and what a blessing that was to you.
Amen.
And she still can give you that blessing, and you can give that back to her. It's sort of a reciprocal thing.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry this is happening, but you know that happened to a lot of couples with COVID. I'm sure she's not hostile to the church. She's not hostile to God. It just is a habit. Mass should be a good habit, and that's a good thing. So I pray for you, and I think you're such a wonderful husband to do what you've done.
Yeah, and Anne, I love the way you said it. Alan, we'll say a prayer for you right now, in fact. I'll say a memorare for you right now. Everyone can join us for the conversion of your wife, but, you know, she gave him the gift of faith. He can give it right back. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Let's turn to Our Lady. We'll ask for his wife. I pray for, Lord, right now, all those who are away from the faith and all those in need of conversion, they may be drawn into the church you established and the beauty, the power, the depths of the grace that's available through the sacraments. And we pray, remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come. Before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Queen of Heaven, intercede for this couple, as you did at the wedding feast of Cana. You interceded for them. You turned their water to wine. We pray for Alan and for all those going through the situation. Dr. Hendershot, always a delight. Thank you so much for spending some time with me.
I'm always happy to be on your show. Thank you. You have such great guests.
God bless you.